of your coming. Amen. And in this morning's scripture reading from Luke, we will hear these familiar words as we can, in our own way, join the shepherds near Bethlehem that night. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. This is a word from God.
Thanks be to God. I first thought that it might be too early to read this Christmas passage, but I wanted to give attention to the shepherd and angels in the story of Jesus' birth today as we continue in our Advent series with a book written by Reverend James Howell titled "Why This Jubilee?" as he gives his thoughts to the people, the cast of the first Christmas for the second week of Advent. Yes, they remind us of what is true, not just at Christmas time, but all the time. It is that the shepherds and angels are around us, assuring us that we have good reasons to be not afraid, but trust that God is involved in our lives. So let us begin this time of message with Marlene Sharkey, who is going to share her faith story via video today. She recorded it because she had to leave for Arizona for her work yesterday. So please listen to her story.
Happy Advent. I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but I'm in Phoenix for work. Thank you for being open to hear my testimonial. I hope it helps you as you reflect on your experiences and God's love for you during this Advent season. Have you ever felt everything in your life has prepared you for something that's happening in your life right now or at a particular point? Perhaps it was to take care of elderly parents or an unexpected grandchild. Perhaps it was to have a conversation with a friend struggling with a relationship. Perhaps it was to support a friend or family member through an illness. Perhaps it was to take on some education or compete in a sporting event. Perhaps it was to take on an adventure in nature. Or perhaps, like me, it was to take on a new job or responsibility. I recently accepted a position with Honeywell Aerospace in their Power and Engines division in Phoenix, Arizona. The 2 months leading up to the job went like this. I felt I had done all I could do at a small company I had been working with for 18 months. I had gone there from American Family to help out a friend. So I applied for a couple jobs in the beginning of April, which included Honeywell. The recruiter from Honeywell called and said it was strange that I had applied because she had just found my resume through LinkedIn search and was about to call me. And I told her it was even stranger that she had called me because I was coming out to Phoenix in 2 days to watch Brianna play club volleyball nationals, and I could do the interview in person. As I was preparing for my interview, trying to determine how to spin my experiences from making Charmin toilet paper and Bounty paper towel to making plane engines, the recruiter called me again. She asked if I wanted a quick conversation with the hiring manager before I went into an interview with three people. And of course, I said yes. To my amazement, the hiring manager told me they were looking for a person to roll out the Agile project management methodology. And my experience was perfect fit for the job. I even interviewed with the president of Engine and Power Systems, and I learned that they had already failed twice. He said this time they were going to be successful. I knew the questions to ask, and I found the support I was looking for, and the rest is history. As I reflect on the skills and experiences that God has blessed me with, I can't help believe that they were all to position me to take on this responsibility at this point in time. In a short 6 months, we have changed the culture in the Engine and Power Systems division. We are struggling with the same staffing and supply chain shortages as everyone else, but the culture is shifting from a top-down management style to empowered teams approach with servant leadership from the top. I have made an impact on hundreds of people and how they feel when they come to work. For those of you who have felt this way, that something or that everything in your life has been preparing you for something that's happening, have you taken time to reflect on the skills God gave you? Have you reflected on the experiences that have been put in your path? Have you thought about how God has blessed you and given you all of the support that you needed? I can go all the way back to my parents and their encouragement when I had a muscular dystrophy carnival at age 10 with real horse rides and carnival games and learned to be resourceful. Or how they supported me when I lost my left ring finger on July 4th when I was 12 and had to learn how to adapt. Or how they supported my choice to follow in my dad's footsteps and become an electrical engineer, which positioned me for my career in manufacturing and IT. I can look at the opportunity to work with Procter & Gamble for the first 12 years of my career and the opportunity to lead the power, controls, and information scope on two new $150 million paper machines making Charmin and Bounty in Albany, Georgia and Manchester, England. I can also look at the opportunity to work for Rockwell Automation, where I was able to experience so many different industries and manufacturing facilities. I was able to learn about the manufacturing information space, which gave me my first introduction to Agile with a global team who had members from Germany, Bulgaria, and the United States. And finally, I can look at the move to American Family to work locally and eliminate all the global travel I was doing when I was at Rockwell Automation. American Family smoothed out the rough edges that I had built up in manufacturing and increased my emotional intelligence. I also increased my understanding of the Agile project management approach as I was a key leader in the transformation to Agile while I was there. Throughout all of these experiences, there were mentors, coaches, managers, coworkers, friends, and my family that all helped lift me up to be ready for this calling. God placed those folks in my path. They were my angels saying, "Be not afraid," and offering the support I would need to meet the next big challenge. At no time did I feel 100% or even 50% prepared for the challenges I took on, but reflecting back, every one of the challenges were imperative for me to be prepared to play the role God needs me to play in this life. I feel blessed to be able to reflect on all of the good as well as all of the challenges God had in his plans for me to ensure I was prepared. Where have you heard, "Be not afraid"? Have you taken the time to truly listen to what God's calling is for you? Have you thought about all the skills and experience that God has put in your path to be ready for your next big challenge? Have you noticed the support that God has surrounded you with in case you need it? And have you thanked God for all of it. As we often say, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. How has God qualified you through your experiences and support? Be not afraid. Be and know. God is good. Have a blessed day.
Yes, we have heard a voice of confidence in Marlene's faith testimonial. She says that throughout her all career years, there have been mentors, coaches, managers, coworkers, families, and friends that all play the role of what angel, helping her not be afraid, but embrace the challenges ahead and realize that God was carrying out God's plans for her. Again, they have been angels to her. So let's talk about angel. The word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. It's the same as the Hebrew word for angel, which is malak. It means messenger. An angel is a messenger from God, assuring people that there is a God involved in their life and that God's plan for them will be fulfilled. These are the primary roles of angels, not just in the Christmas story, but throughout the scripture. As was at the birth of Jesus, an angel, God's messenger, came at the resurrection of Jesus. To the woman who went to Jesus' tomb early on the first day of the week, the angel gave the message that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And tracing back to the time of Hebrew scripture, we read that an angel of the Lord appeared and told Hagar, when she was still a slave of Sarai, that her descendants would increase in number. Yes, Hagar met an angel in the desert. And we also read in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, the Lord appeared to Abraham when he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And it was when Abraham was visited by three visitors. Three visitors were angels, and they told Abraham and Sarah that Isaac would be born. And it's written in several places that the angels of God appeared to Jacob and directed him where he would go next. And in a similar way, an angel of God ministered to Elijah so he would have courage to change his direction and stand up to the prophets of an idol. And in the final book of the Old Testament, we again find the word malak, as it provides a promise of Savior. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, says the Lord Almighty. And we know this prophecy refers to John the Baptist, whose call was to, in his words, prepare the way for the Lord. He said, after me comes the one more powerful than I. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, thinking about angels, if you have imagined only a man or a woman in a white, dazzling attire with wings and a halo, now it's time to stretch out your imagination and open your eyes to recognize angels. In other words, God's messengers around you. They don't have wings, but have words to speak to your heart. They don't radiate the brightness of a halo, but radiate the warmth of love. They don't come in a blinding light, but they come in the flesh and enable us to see what's hidden from the eyes of our heart. Then, wouldn't you say that there have been angels in your life? I look back over my life and ask myself where I have met angels, again, messengers from God. Yes, to my knowledge, I have never met heavenly winged creatures. No, but there have been people whose messages changed my life. I cannot help believing that God used them to deliver a message to me. As I told you before, there was an elder in my church home who came to my Sunday school classroom and gave us a message about the audacious dream that we can have in Christ and for Christ. And then since then, he prayed for me every day until he passed away about 2 years ago. I know because the family witnessed it and because I have felt his prayer support. And he was, yes, an angel to me. And angels of God came in my friends too. This week I remember one particular friend. While in college, I was struggling with the faith because I was deeply hurt by the betrayal of someone that I trusted immensely. Life was an agony itself, and my faith in God was totally challenged. I almost gave up the faith, but one of my old friends told me something that sustained my faith and my life. The friend said, "Pyeong-ah," my Korean name, right? "I will understand whatever decision you'd end up with because God will never give you up on. God will never give up on you. So I hope you won't forget it." That message sustained my faith and my life. There have been more messengers before and after those days. I think of the pastors whose preaching I heard over and over and or read, and how God spoke to me through them. I felt it. My professors at college and in seminary too. And of course, my wife has been certainly a messenger from God for me on countless occasions. And you, members and friends of the church I serve here, you inspire me, encourage me, and lead me to a deeper level of sincerity and compassion in living out my faith and vocations. Yes, yesterday our festival was an example, and today's cantata will be another example where I can witness to my faith in being surrounded by many angels. So my song today is Gloria. It's because I feel blessed, and it's like having seen God's glory through my angels. The refrain, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, is Latin, meaning glory to God in the highest. And French legend believes that in medieval times on Christmas Eve, the shepherds would sing the Gloria chorus and call to one another from one hillside to another, and enjoying that echoing chorus. Reports say that it was in the second century that the phrase Gloria became known as the angel's hymn. The carol Angels We Have Heard on High is originated from the traditional French carol known as this. Who can read this? Okay, Les Anges de nos Compagnies. Okay, I don't know if that is correct in pronouncing it, but it means literally the angels in our countryside. And about 20 years after its first publication in 1842, James Chadwick, the Roman Catholic bishop of Northeast England region, translated and paraphrased it into English. This time, through my research, I learned new knowledge. The way the refrain is sung is called melismatic. Okay, melismatic is a fancy word for holding one syllable and hitting several notes, like Then, when you hear someone sing that way, hey, then you can say, you sing it in a melismatic way, right? Yes. So, for sure, this effect enhances the idea of what a host of angels singing might sound like as it is echoing. And it adds to the sense of merriment in the carol. So today, through the narrative of the first Christmas in Scripture, and through Marlene's faith testimonial, through the angel hymn Gloria, and through all different angels in our lives, we are reminded that God still speaks. God still delivers a message of hope, love, joy, and peace to us. Yes, the shepherd and angel are around us. And that's why I said to the children, there are more than 15 angels in this room. And angels come to us and tell us good news to encourage us and awaken us to what God is doing for us and around us. So we have reasons to be merry. And in his book, Why This Jubilee, which we use for our Advent study and message series, Reverend Howell begins the second week daily reading by drawing our attention to the carol, God rest to ye, merry gentlemen, right? According to Reverend Howell, in its original carol, there was a comma after merry. So it was a message to you, gentlemen, gentlewoman, God rest you merry. Yes, friends, all of you are invited to rest in a merry way. So it's more than an invitation to, okay, take a break from this, in this busy and hustle and bustle season. It's an invitation to receive the good news of Christmas and find peace and joy in Christ who came as your Savior. So the message of the carol is, God rest you, merry gentlemen. God rest you, merry gentlemen, gentlewoman. Let nothing you dismay, right? Because angels bring the good news to you. Let them speak of God's will for you, so you may feel, oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. As I now finish this message, a question for you is this. Do you take the time to pay attention and listen to God who may speak to you through unexpected angels? I know that many of us are so busy in this holiday season with many things to do and to plan ahead. We can be easily in such a hurry that there is no time to listen to how God may be trying to speak to us. As I believe that God still speaks, of course, through the scripture, but also through people who then come as angels of God, I hope and pray that you and I won't fail to recognize those angels who step in our lives and deliver a message that helps us know better God's will and God's plans for us. Furthermore, my Christmas hope and prayer includes this. You and I can be an angel in someone's life, used by God to deliver a message of hope and assurance, give the gift of comfort and joy, and bringing glory to God and peace to those whom God favors. Yes, you and I are chosen to be angels, messengers of the good news of great joy. Who is God calling you to be an angel for this Christmas time? Let us answer God's question. Thanks be to God. Amen. So as we now turn to this time of communion, please join me by using the words that you'd find on the screen. God is with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks and praise, O gracious God. You, mighty one, have done great things for us, and holy is your name. Your mercy is for those who honor you from generation to generation. Throughout history, you have sent your people as your messengers. Most of all, through your prophets and angels, you promised to send us a Savior. Prepare our hearts and minds to receive your incarnation, that we may know you through Jesus Christ and sing with all the angels in glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you. Blessed is Jesus Christ. He came and lived among us, teaching us and healing us and showing us new ways to live and love. We remember the night before he gave up himself for us. At the meal table with his disciples and friends, he took a loaf of bread and lifted it up to give thanks to you, O God, and broke it and gave it to his friends and disciples at the table and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal was over, in the same way, he took a cup that contains the fruit of a vine and lifted it up to say thanks to God and pass it at the table to say that this is my blood of the new covenant to pour out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it in remembrance of me. In remembrance and thanks for all the gift of Jesus Christ, we give ourselves to you, O God, as we proclaim the mystery of a faith. Christ was promised. Christ is born. Christ will dwell among us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, fill this gift of bread and cup with joy and peace, and fill your spirit. Yes, send your spirit to fill our heart with the gift of your Holy Spirit, that those who receive this bread and cup may abound in the deep hope which you alone can give. May God's glory fill the whole earth, this church, and our lives. Blessed be God's glorious name forever and ever. Let us continue to be in the attitude of prayer as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.